Good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock, and we are all just staying alive this morning. Charlie Weed, Susie Jones. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Susie.
How are you? Are you staying alive pretty well?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think it's an apt intro song.
I do, too, because that's what we're doing every Sunday morning.
Every Sunday.
Every
day, really. Hopefully more than Sundays.
That we're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice weekend so far?
I did.
We had a baby shower for my son and his girlfriend.
That's
humongo.
Right.
Huge party. I'm exhausted.
Oh, I thought you were saying his girlfriend was humongo.
No,
that
no.
Wouldn't have been...
No, I don't think I would say that.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, right. And I think I've got enough of a mental check in place to not call a pregnant woman a
humongo. I would hope so.
Being that most do. You know, I was pregnant twice. So, yeah. Anyway. On the other side of things, once you get born, you eventually get old, right? So that's what we're talking about today. I mean, sorry to say. Yeah. Not old, but, you know, adding years.
I think you could say people get old. Is that offensive?
I don't know. Somebody
listen,
might.
It all happens to all of us.
Right. We're all old. I mean, and old is also quite subjective, in my opinion, in terms of how you feel. Like, I'm 61. I feel young. I feel 17 most days. And today I feel 97. Well, we are happy to have on our newsline Dr. Nick Schneeman. And you told me this, Charlie, that Schneeman is snowman in German.
Well, I can't take the full credit because he told me that.
Dr. Schneeman, good morning.
Good morning, Susie and Charlie.
And you are Mr. Snowman in German.
Yes. That is correct.
Oh. Well, thanks for coming on because we're talking about getting older and taking care of yourself and what we want for ourselves, you know, when we get older and something goes wrong and you call 911 and you go to the hospital and end up sometimes, you tell me, in a cycle of go to the hospital, come home, fall, go to the hospital, come home, something else. So the idea is we want to be healthy as we age. And let's talk a little bit about stopping that cycle of going to the ER and coming home and going to the ER, if you wouldn't mind. And Dr. Nick Schneeman is with Life Spark, a senior care group, and he is a geriatrician. Did I say that right?
You did.
Great. So let's talk about that. And also want to remind folks as we go, 651-461-9226. That's the number that you can call if you're listening right now and you have a question or a comment or a loved one. 651-461-9226. So kind of talk about the cycle and what you see and what you're doing or hoping to do to maybe prevent that.
Well, I think what you're describing, Susie, is spot on. A lot of seniors, not all, but many seniors do end up stuck inside a revolving door of rescue, rehab, and relapse. We call it the roller coaster of healthcare over at LifeSpark. And part of that is experiencing unplanned or unnecessary hospitalizations. So I don't want to make the hospital, you know, the villain here. It's a wonderful place for many people to go and have life-saving rescue therapies. But the fact of the matter is that somewhere between 5% and 70% of emergency department visits, and that's a wide variation, I understand, but that's what the evidence really has shown, are really unnecessary for people across the spectrum, not just seniors. And the evidence would suggest the median number is probably, you could say, 20 or 30% of hospitalizations or ED visits for seniors really aren't needed, which I kind of guess begs the question, why do we care?
I would say, is it not money? But that might be too crass of an answer.
You're a realist, Susie. Yes, it's enormously expensive. I mean, it's the most expensive lever to pull in the healthcare system, right? And so it is, I think, really important for Medicare, Medicaid, commercial insurers, everybody, to make sure that we try and cut down on unnecessary ED visits. But it's more than just the expense. In terms of efficiencies, I don't know if you've been in the emergency room in the last couple of years, yes. Susie, or been there with a loved one, it can be a real you-know-what show with long wait times and being housed in the ED for hours, if not days. Mm-hmm. So it can really clog the system up in a way that is that causes some harm. And then the last, I think, important point of why this is an issue in Minnesota and nationwide is that there is a cohort of clients that senior clients that show up in the emergency room that are the very ones that are more likely to be harmed by showing up there. And so it's not just unnecessary, but potentially harmful. And by that, I mean exposure to overtreatment and overdiagnoses. And seniors can often leave the ED or a hospital stay more confused, on higher doses of medications, new medications, physically weaker, and a follow-up plan that is really difficult to manage with lots of subspecialists and again, added medications to take. So I think it's really a quality issue here, too, and which I think should lead us maybe to talk about who are the folks and why do they show up.
All right. Well, let's do that after we take a quick break here. Again, we are talking to Dr. Nick Schneeman with LifeSpark. And if you want to jump in, if you have a question, maybe a loved one who's been through something like this, you want to share a story, we invite you to call us at 651-461-9226. Or you can text us on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. We're back right after this. And we are back. It is 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It is June 2nd. Happy to have you with us. We're talking to Dr. Nick Schneeman. He is with LifeSpark. And we're talking about unnecessary hospital visits. Not that hospitals are bad, but oftentimes for older adults, you end up going maybe when you don't need to go. And we talked about the fact that that can be problematic for patients because sometimes they end up more confused, maybe taking more medications, and what can be done to cut that down, cut the number down, or eliminate it, but not take it out of the picture, because sometimes you do need to go to the emergency department. 651-461-9226. That is our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. I am asking you a question for one of our listeners this morning, all right? It says, what do you do when your provider tells you to go to the emergency department and you're pretty sure it'll be a waste of time and you don't want to go? Do you just go and follow that person's recommendation? That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I mean, the primary care physicians working in the current health system often don't have a lot of other levers to pull other than to give you that advice. And it's not just for legal reasons, although there's some liability issues, telling somebody not to go or offering alternative plans. But that is commonly the only lever out there, so which I think leads to a call for different models of care here. And particularly for the group of people or cohort, as we say, that is most likely to be harmed or not helped by an ED visit. And those folks, I'm going to introduce a new concept to your listeners here, Susie, I think, present with what we call our geriatric syndromes. Is that something you've heard of before?
I have not. But probably my mother has. She's a geriatric nurse practitioner by trade. We talk a lot about this in our family. But tell me more about that.
Yes, your mother has lived in this world of geriatric syndromes. And geriatric syndromes essentially are ill-defined, vague presentations. And they're very common. They're conditions in older adults that often have a lot of complexity in their lives, both health and psychosocial, and their presentations don't fit into distinct organ-based diseases, and they usually have multiple inputs and causes. So a good practical example would be somebody showing up in the emergency room confused, or they had a fall, or they're weak, they've experienced some weight loss, new incontinence. You know, maybe inability to just care for themselves at home. The presentation history I hear often is mom's just not herself or dad's not right today. And so these folks show up with these vague or ill-defined presentations that just don't fit into the way we've organized the healthcare system.
One of the texters asks this question, and I think it's valid. Well, I mean, they all are, but are patients going to the emergency department because they don't have a personal physician? How often is that the case that that's the only place they know of to turn because they have no one else?
I think access to primary care is an issue. Transportation is an issue. There's a number of different things that are in play here. But in terms of low-hanging fruit, I think approaching complex and frail seniors who present with geriatric syndromes really requires a completely different framework, which is something I'd like to discuss if we could.
Yeah, I want to get into that because we've sort of set this up, and now I want to kind of turn around a little bit, but be open to questions as well at 651-461-9226. So the idea, now that we've talked about this, is what can a senior or a person, anyone listening, if they have a symptom, how do you not go to the ER? How do you assess whether you should or shouldn't go to the emergency room?
Well, there's a national movement started by the John A. Hartford Foundation, which is an organization that funds training and education to promote better expertise in geriatrics around the country. It's been around for a while. But they have come up with a framework to approach seniors with geriatric syndromes called the 4M framework. And the goal of the 4M framework is to build age-friendly institutions like our hospitals and age-friendly communities. And the 4M stands for matters, mobility, mentation, and medications. And it is a completely different approach than what we learned in medical school and residency. In medical school and residency, you're taught this very rigid model, which works often. It's called chief complaint. You know, what's the main complaint? Take a history doctor, do an examination, order some lab imaging, put all that data together, and you'll have the correct diagnosis, and just put the plan in place. Voila, the patient is cured. And that is a very rigid framework that every physician or nurse who's listening knows that it's drilled into us. The 4M framework is a different way to take a really more holistic look at the clients. And I'd be happy to go through each of those M's if we have time here.
Yeah, we do. Because I was curious about number three. I wrote them down, but I didn't understand number three. So start with matter. What does that mean? I mean, I understand what it means, but how does it relate?
It means, yeah, really getting to what matters. And seniors with the same level of medical complexity, the same stage of illness, the same perceived level of suffering, really do choose different things. People have different passions, different ideas about what they want in their life, and that is often a gap. So we need to get to that. We need to know what they're hoping for and what gives them joy. And then on a practical level, you know, what level of care do they really want? How aggressive in terms of procedures and interventions are in play for them? So that's the what matters piece. And we can talk about how we deliver this stuff later. But the second one is mobility. And that stands for, you know, what it sounds like. Can you walk independently, transfer yourself? Do you need a cane, assistive device, maybe a wheelchair? It also stands for activities of daily living. Can you care for yourself? And then lastly, how about shopping, finances, things like that? So really getting an idea of what the client can do functionally. The third one is mentation, and that stands for assessing cognition. This is a huge gap in our system. We're not trained on how to do it. It is commonplace for people with significant cognitive dysfunction, making decisions and managing affairs that end up with less than optimal outcomes. In fact, If you take any chronic illness, Susie, like COPD or hypertension, diabetes, and you add cognitive impairment to it, it doubles the annual cost.
Wow.
And there's pretty good evidence of that. And it's kind of the elephant in the room, you know, in the clinic, the emergency room, inside of families. And so we need to really train people on how to do facile cognitive assessments, not sending somebody to neurology. We can't send every 85-year-old to neurology for a three-hour neuropsych test. You know, we have to develop those skills, I think, in the front lines. And then the fourth M is medication. That really stands for the medical complexity. And medication lists aren't the end-all, but they are a good surrogate marker for medical complexity. And if you're on 13 to 18 drugs, you're probably at risk for presenting with geriatric syndromes.
Because the drugs and the cognition and the mobility and the matters, all of that comes together to be pretty complex, right? I mean, when you're dealing with someone who's, like you said, 85.
Pretty tough to get all that information in a 10-minute, 12-minute office, is it, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And, you know, like you say, I just want to go back a little bit to the elephant in the room, because it's so hard to, I want to use the word accuse or point out, if you have a loved one, a parent, what have you, someone you're caring for with a cognitive situation, you know, because is it dementia? Is it Alzheimer's? Is it just get an aging brain? And how do you care for someone and then see that happening and have the courage to say to that person, hey, I think you're slipping? I mean, because they're, you know what I mean? It's tough.
It is, and I think the current fee-for-service system is not set up well to deliver on the four M's. I mean, it's really tough, so we really need a different delivery model for sure. But, you know, I like to tell the students and colleagues that I work with and mentor that this is what really sets us apart as geriatric experts, is really understanding these four things very deeply. You know, and it's a gap. You know, when you show up again in the clinic presenting with one of these geriatric syndromes, there's a lot of gaps in there for the provider on the other side. And I, like you said, I don't like pointing fingers at them. I have many, many friends that are in that fee-for-service system, but it's really hard to deliver on a holistic, comprehensive geriatric plan for these folks. So not everybody needs this. There are, you know, God love them, healthy 82-year-old golfers out there with a lot of complexity, but there are many, many seniors at risk for these syndromes.
Let's take a break. It's 7:30 on News Talk 830 WCCO. If you're listening and you want to chime in, this is an opportunity for you to do so. Our phone number on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is 651-461-9226. Again, it is 651-461-9226. And we're talking to Dr. Nick Schneeman with LifeSpark about this complex situation that we're in terms with older people and going to the emergency room and what we can do to maybe help avoid some of those trips if possible. We'll be back right after this. And we are back, and we are talking about how to help older people avoid, if they can, going to the emergency department at the hospital unnecessarily. And we have with us on our newsline Dr. Nick Schneeman with LifeSpark, a geriatrician, a medical director with LifeSpark. And we're talking about the four M's, if you're just tuning in, what matters to you as an older adult, and helping to determine whether you should go or not to the emergency department. So, Dr. Schneeman, let's kind of come around the corner and talk about making that choice. I mean, because ultimately, do you want people to sort of stop and check and decide if they really need to go or not? Or where are we going with this kind of thought process?
Well, to deliver on the four M's and really get the kind of outcomes patients want at a much lower cost for our society, we really need to transform the delivery model. Again, not for everybody, But if you recognize, you know, mobility, mentation, or medical complexity in a loved one or in yourself, you know, I think a different model is in order. And I'd love to describe what we're doing over at LifeSpark and in other parts of the country here, too, for this select cohort of seniors who are at risk for geriatric syndromes.
Okay, let's do that. We have a couple of questions as well, but we can do that and sort of follow along with some of the questions, because a texter just wrote that his wife is the poster child for this syndrome you're describing, and wonders about whether or not, what way to turn when you're dealing with this situation. So maybe we can answer some of that question by just continuing with this. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think this will be very, very helpful. So first of all, the delivery model is team-based. So it's not just the doctor and the client. There is PT, OT, speech, social workers, care coordinators, and often a nurse with comfort and training in complex geriatrics, all on the team. So this geriatric assessment that's required doesn't have to happen in just one 10-minute visit. It can be spread out a little bit or done in a comprehensive way in the same day. The physician or the advanced practice practitioner, nurse practitioner, PA involved also has a very important role. And the way that we manage that intervention by the doc is using a storytelling model. And now this takes additional time. You know, we're talking about my consults are generally about an hour, something like that. They are typically in the home, which is super valuable. And the only way we can pull these kinds of things off is by having good payer partners, which we're fortunate to have here in Minnesota with some of our Medicare payers. So in other words, they pay us differently for this model, and we can talk about that maybe another time. But here's the model. It's five steps. It's hear the story, summarize the story, elicit hopes and dreams, and then come up with an acute and chronic care plan. So those are the four steps. The first step is super important, hearing the story. And by story, Susie, I mean the journey into complexity. Mm-hmm. So I usually ask people to start when life wasn't very complicated and you didn't have many medical problems or functional, you know, or cognitive problems. Start there and give me your journey into today. And that's a very unique story. It can take 10 minutes to tell, maybe 20 minutes to a half an hour. And you really get a sense of the person's values and what they've been through over the past whatever. It could be 6 months since they've had a big stroke, could be 10 years since they started losing the car keys. Mm. And then the second step is super important, and it's summarizing that story and spitting it back to the client and their family in a way that they've felt heard. And that's really missing in healthcare nowadays. And it's very common for me to hear that, you know, nobody's actually sat down with us and let us tell this story. And if you skip the summary, people don't feel heard. So it's really important to do that. And then the third step is now, once you've built some trust, and you can build trust very quickly listening to somebody's complex story, you can ask what they're hoping for. And like I said, the client may be hoping for something different than the daughter or the family. And, you know, we get all this out on the table and then get to the hard work of coming up with a plan for acute events. When something happens next, what are we going to do? And then aligning the chronic care plan, meaning all the medications and subspecialty interventions in a way that that aligns with the goals of care. So those are the five steps. It's a sometimes very emotional thing to go through, yeah. But the outputs are plans that actually work and often keep people off that roller coaster of healthcare and out of the emergency department.
Yeah, and it does take, like you said, it is emotional. My mom, and she hates when I say it, but I don't really care, she's 93, and she is in great health, and she has said that if I come over and she's had a stroke and she's on the floor, I'm to leave her. On the floor. I said, Mom, I'm not leaving you on the floor. But, I mean, she...
No, but you could use a lever to pull, right? You could use a lever to pull to make sure she gets what she wants.
Point being is that she really... She's someone who knows herself quite well, and that she doesn't want to get on that roller coaster. As a as a older, you know, a former geriatric nurse practitioner, you know, that cycle of hospital, home, hospital, home, hospital, home, she's seen so many times. A couple of text questions coming in. Let's do that here. We have a fair amount of time left. What about nutrition? Someone asks, how does that fit into becoming more healthy and hopefully avoiding that hospital visit?
Well, it's incredibly common.
And we are back, and we are talking about how to help older people avoid, if they can, going to the emergency department at the hospital unnecessarily. And we have with us on our newsline Dr. Nick Schneeman with LifeSpark, a geriatrician, a medical director with LifeSpark, and we're talking about the four M's. If you're just tuning in, what matters to you as an older adult and helping to determine whether you should go or not to the emergency department. So, Dr. Schneeman, let's kind of come around the corner and talk about making that choice. I mean, because ultimately, do you want people to sort of stop and check and decide if they really need to go or not? Or where are we going with this kind of thought process?
Well, to deliver on the four M's and really get the kind of outcomes patients want at a much lower cost for our society, we really need to transform the delivery model. And again, not for everybody, but if you recognize, you know, mobility, mentation, or medical complexity in a loved one or in yourself, you know, I think a different model is in order. And I'd love to describe what we're doing over at LifeSpark and in other parts of the country here, too, for this select cohort of seniors who are at risk for geriatric syndromes.
Okay, let's do that. We have a couple of questions as well, but we can do that and sort of follow along with some of the questions, because a texter just wrote that his wife is the poster child for this syndrome you're describing and wonders about whether or not what way to turn when you're dealing with this situation. So maybe we can answer some of that question by just continuing with this. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think this will be very, very helpful. So first of all, the delivery model is team-based. So it's not just the doctor and the client. There is PT, OT, speech, social workers, care coordinators, and often a nurse with comfort and training in complex geriatrics, all on the team. So this geriatric assessment that's required doesn't have to happen in just one 10-minute visit. It can be spread out a little bit or done in a comprehensive way in the same day. The physician or the advanced practice practitioner, nurse practitioner, PA involved also has a very important role. And the way that we manage that intervention by the doc is using a storytelling model. And now this takes additional time. You know, we're talking about my consults are generally about an hour, something like that. They are typically in the home, which is super valuable. And the only way we can pull these kinds of things off is by having good payer partners, which we're fortunate to have here in Minnesota with some of our Medicare payers. So in other words, they pay us differently for this model. And we can talk about that maybe another time. But here's the model. It's five steps. It's hear the story, summarize the story, elicit hopes and dreams, and then come up with an acute and chronic care plan. So those are the four steps. The first step is super important, hearing the story. And by story, Susie, I mean the journey into complexity. Mm-hmm. So I usually ask people to start when life wasn't very complicated and you didn't have many medical problems or functional, you know, or cognitive problems. Start there and give me your journey into today. And that's a very unique story. It can take 10 minutes to tell, maybe 20 minutes to a half an hour. And you really get a sense of the person's values and what they've been through over the past whatever. It could be 6 months since they've had a big stroke, could be 10 years since they started losing the car keys. And then the second step is super important, and it's summarizing that story and spitting it back to the client and their family in a way that they've felt heard. And that's really missing in healthcare nowadays. And it's very common for me to hear that, you know, nobody's actually sat down with us and let us tell this story. And if you skip the summary, people don't feel heard. So it's really important to do that. And then the third step is now, once you've built some trust, and you can build trust very quickly listening to somebody's complex story, you can ask what they're hoping for. And like I said, the client may be hoping for something different than the daughter or the family. And, you know, we get all this out on the table and then get to the hard work of coming up with a plan for acute events. When something happens next, what are we going to do? And then aligning the chronic care plan, meaning all the medications and subspecialty interventions, in a way that that aligns with the goals of care. So those are the five steps. It's a sometimes very emotional thing to go through, but the outputs are plans that actually work and often keep people off that roller coaster of healthcare and out of the emergency department.
Yeah, and it does take, like you said, it is emotional. My mom, and she hates when I say it, but I don't really care. She's 93, and she is in great health. And she has said that if I come over and she's had a stroke and she's on the floor, I'm to leave her on the floor. I said, Mom, I'm not leaving you on the floor. But, I mean, she...
No, but you could use a lever to pull, right? You could use a lever to pull to make sure she gets what she wants.
Point being is that she really, she's someone who knows herself quite well and that she doesn't want to get on that roller coaster. As a older, you know, a former geriatric nurse practitioner, you know, that cycle of hospital, home, hospital, home, hospital, home, she's seen so many times. A couple of text questions coming in. Let's do that here. We have a fair amount of time left. What about nutrition? Someone asks, how does that fit into becoming more healthy and hopefully avoiding that hospital visit?
Well, it's incredibly common for seniors to struggle with nutrition for whatever, and hydration. For whatever reason, a lot of older people just quit drinking enough fluid.
And eating. They don't eat very much.
Yes, and these are telltale signs of impending geriatric syndrome and ED presentation. And the inputs to fixing that are multifactorial. So it's again, the 4M approach. This could be related to adverse effects of the medication. It could be social isolation. You know, and they need some companionship for that meal. There's all kinds of different answers to that. So it's a great question, and I'm not trying to dodge the answer, but it takes that 4M holistic approach to come up with why. There isn't a guideline for weight loss, you know, that, you know, unlike chest pain or acute gallbladder attack or, you know, even an acute stroke.
Yeah,
these are simpler and more straightforward, and we can follow best practice guidelines. Mm-hmm. But poor nutrition or weight loss, that's the geriatric syndrome presentation.
Yeah. This person texted in this morning, I am a practicing chiropractor. A high percentage of my patient population is geriatric. Falls are a big issue with seniors. What do you think of the focus on exercise to help with balance? I've noticed that very little is done with seniors to train them to get back on their feet once they have fallen. What are your thoughts on physical fitness and balance, particularly, and getting up if you've fallen to the ground?
Well, it's not just my thoughts. There's really good evidence to support exercise is incredibly important at any age. And people that will do what's called resistance exercise training. You know, often the bands, if you've seen them before, Susie, where you can use them upper body and lower body to improve your strength. And combining that with a walking program will definitely helps keep people in their homes longer without transitioning to the hospital or transitional care units or skilled nursing facilities. So spot on, texter. You know, we need to emphasize exercise much more as healthcare professionals. I guarantee you that those interventions are 1,000 times more important than me adding another drug.
651-461-9226. That is our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. You can call. We have about 15 minutes left in the show. 651-461-9226. We'll continue with our conversation right after this. And we are back with the final segment this Sunday morning on Your Health. And we are talking to Dr. Nick Schneeman. He is with LifeSpark. He's the medical director and a geriatrician. And we're talking about unnecessary trips to the emergency room or the hospital and what we can do sort of to, well, cut down on those by changing the way that we deliver health care. I want to say our number is 651-461-9226. That is our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And I wanted to mention couple questions that we're getting online. What is the cost of LifeSpark, and is it covered by insurance? So LifeSpark doesn't deliver medicine, does it? I mean, people don't come to LifeSpark to get care, but what do you do, and is there a price, and is it covered? Because I think that's important.
I don't want to make this a commercial for LifeSpark, but we do have an innovative model, that's for sure, and we bring the delivery side to you in your home. And we do have a robust medical practice with geriatricians and advanced practice practitioners. We have a full team of therapists, social workers, and really have a wide array of services, even a driving service to take somebody to the doctor or to the grocery store.
And so, what's the cost, and is it covered by insurance?
It is, miraculously. So we've been fortunate to have some Medicare carriers in the state of Minnesota. Shout out UCare and Blue Cross for sure. They are engaging us in a different payment methodology. So it's not a transactional one, Susie. I think we talked about this before on a previous program. It's a per member per month kind of payment. So it's a total cost of care model. So in other words, if we provide care that patients love and families want and will sign up for it, and we save money by reducing, you know, $25,000 hospitalizations by giving people what they need in their homes. It's a win-win for the health plans and for a delivery service like LifeSpark. So, and it is covered by insurance, no additional cost at all.
Okay.
And,
well, good.
And that's the long answer, actually.
That's okay.
Could have done it shorter.
A texter writes, can you please restate the four M's? That's from Ron in Minneapolis. That's a good one. Let's talk about what they are.
What matters? That's the most important one. And what matters is different based on the individual. Two is mobility, which is really more encompassing your functional status, the ability to take care of yourself. Three is mentation, a big gap in our health system. You know, are you cognitively intact? Do you have mild cognitive impairment, meaning some memory loss, but it's not functionally impairing you? Or do you have dementia, mild, moderate, or severe? Those are kind of the five levels for the M mentation. And the last one is medications or medical complexity. Mm. You know, are your medications indicated? Do they work for you? And are they safe? Are the subspecialists integrated into the 4M holistic approach? So those are the 4Ms, a different way of looking at seniors that is very different from chief complaint, chest pain, abdominal pain, whatever, and the usual way that we were trained to care for folks.
All right, 651-461-9226. I wanted to kind of talk about, so it's a person that's listening right now, and they have this information, and maybe they are the loved ones of an older parent. How do you intervene? How do you stop unnecessary visits proactively? Someone texted a short bit ago about a loved one that also had some cognitive issues, some mental health issues, and that person called all the time 911. You know, how do you get in front of it that way?
Well, the best way is to get upstream and have a comprehensive geriatric assessment like we discussed. So that really often just results in, you know, much better outcomes and less trips to the emergency department because you've fixed the medication issues. You've added in exercise and the right functional supports, the right caregiving, you know, so a lot of things get fixed upstream. But the fact of the matter is people still have falls, right?
Yeah.
And people still have acute events. And so coming up with a contingency plan is super important. Some people just do this intuitively, but most people don't. So looking at your own health and 4M risk profile, you know, what is most likely to happen? You can think that through and then come up with a plan for diabetes and your sugar's too high or it's too low. For COPD, many of my patients will have prednisone and antibiotics in the home, ready to use if they start to need more oxygen or are coughing or have a fever.
Mm.
Dementia, what's the plan for the caregiver if they can't do their caregiving responsibility or they need some relief? And
yeah.
So who to call, you know, what to do when something happens, to have a contingency plan in place is super important.
All right. We are out of time, I'm sorry to say, because it's been very interesting, and I really appreciate your coming on. And, you know, what we take away from this is, like you said, those hospital visits can cause more problems for older people than actually helping, whether they're sitting in an emergency room for 24 hours or not, or getting a new medication that upsets the apple cart. So thank you so much. Again, it is LifeSpark. That's the name of the company if you want to find out more about that. But Dr. Schneeman, thank you so much for coming on today. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Susie. And can I just give a shout-out to my 91-year-old mom, CCO listener forever?
Oh, of course.
24/7.
Okay. What is your mom's first name?
Grandma MJ.
MJ and Kay Jones can get together and party.
All right.
Take it easy, my friend.
Thanks, Susie.
All right. It is 7:55, just about 7:56 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we are back with the final segment this Sunday morning on Your Health. And we are talking to Dr. Nick Schneeman. He is with LifeSpark. He's the medical director and a geriatrician. And we're talking about unnecessary trips to the emergency room or the hospital and what we can do sort of to, well, cut down on those by changing the way that we deliver health care. I want to say our number is 651-461-9226. That is our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And I wanted to mention a couple questions that we're getting online. What is the cost of LifeSpark, and is it covered by insurance? So LifeSpark doesn't deliver medicine, doesn't? I mean, people don't come to LifeSpark to get care, but what do you do, and is there a price, and is it covered? Because I think that's important.
I don't want to make this a commercial for LifeSpark, but we do have an innovative model, that's for sure, and we bring the delivery side to you in your home, and we do have a robust medical practice with geriatricians and advanced practice practitioners. We have a full team of therapists, social workers, and really have a wide array of services, even a driving service to take somebody to the doctor or to the grocery store.
What's the cost, and is it covered by insurance?
It is, miraculously. So we've been fortunate to have some Medicare carriers in the state of Minnesota. Shout out UCare and Blue Cross for sure. Engaging us in a different payment methodology. So it's not a transactional one, Susie. I think we talked about this before on a previous program. It's a per member per month kind of payment.
Okay.
It's a total cost of care model. So in other words, if we provide care that patients love and families want and will sign up for it, and we save money by reducing, you know, $25,000 hospitalizations by giving people what they need in their homes. It's a win-win for the health plans and for a delivery service like LifeSpark. So, and it is covered by insurance, no additional cost at all.
Okay.
And,
well, good.
And that's the short. That's the long answer, actually.
That's okay.
I could have done it shorter.
A texter writes, can you please restate the four M's, That's from Ron in Minneapolis. That's a good one. Let's talk about what they are.
What matters? That's the most important one. And what matters is different based on the individual. Two is mobility, which is really more encompassing your functional status, the ability to take care of yourself. Three is mentation, a big gap in our health system. You know, are you cognitively intact? Do you have mild cognitive impairment, meaning some memory loss, but it's not functionally impairing you? Or do you have dementia, mild, moderate, or severe? Those are kind of the five levels for the M-mentation. And the last one is medications or medical complexity. Mm. You know, are your medications indicated? Do they work for you? And are they safe? And are the subspecialists integrated into the 4M holistic approach? So those are the 4Ms, a different way of looking at seniors that is very different from chief complaint, chest pain, abdominal pain, whatever, and the usual way that we were trained to care for folks.
All right, 651-461-9226. I wanted to kind of talk about, so it's a person that's listening right now, and they have this information, and maybe they are the loved ones of an older parent. How do you intervene? How do you stop unnecessary visits proactively? Someone texted a short bit ago about a loved one that also had some cognitive issues, some mental health issues, and that person called all the time, 911. You know, how do you get in front of it that way?
Well, the best way is to get upstream and have a comprehensive geriatric assessment like we discussed. So that really often just results in, you know, much better outcomes and less trips to the emergency department because you've fixed the medication issues. You've added in exercise and the right functional supports, the right caregiving, you know, so a lot of things get fixed upstream. But the fact of the matter is people still have falls, right?
Yeah.
And people still have acute events. And so coming up with a contingency plan is super important. Some people just do this intuitively, but most people don't. So looking at your own health and 4M risk profile, you know, what is most likely to happen? You can think that through and then come up with a plan for diabetes and your sugar's too high or it's too low. For COPD, many of my patients will have prednisone and antibiotics in the home, ready to use if they start to need more oxygen or are coughing or have a fever.
Mm.
Dementia, what's the plan for the caregiver if they can't do their caregiving responsibility or they need some relief? And
yeah.
So who to call, you know, what to do when something happens, to have a contingency plan in place is super important.
All right. We are out of time, I'm sorry to say, because it's been very interesting, and I really appreciate your coming on. And, you know, what we take away from this is, like you said, those hospital visits can cause more problems for older people than actually helping, whether they're sitting in an emergency room for 24 hours or not, or getting a new medication that upsets the apple cart. So thank you so much. Again, it is LifeSpark. That's the name of the company if you want to find out more about that. But Dr. Schneeman, thank you so much for coming on today. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Susie. And can I just give a shout out to my 91-year-old mom, CCL listener forever?
Oh, of course.
24/7.
Okay. What is your mom's first name?
Grandma MJ.
MJ and Kay Jones can get together and party.
All right.
Take it easy, my friend.
Thanks, Susie.
All right. It is 7:55, just about 7:56 on News Talk 830 WCCO.